you will see what looks like a discussion forum, because we've just transferred to a discussion forum, and you wouldn't be able to access it because you're not a member.
You have to be in the club.
You do have to be in the club, yes.
So what's the advantage of having that sort of closed online space?
The big difference between a closed virtual community like ICU Connect and, say, Twitter, is that it's a much safer place for people to express themselves, whereas Twitter, it's all in. Overall, most people don't want to express or broadcast their opinions. I'm not one of them.
So what kind of things would you be talking about then?
Anything to do with intensive care practice or delivering intensive care to patients. So most of the time it's about practices we do, like, for instance, how to run a ventilator, which is the breathing machine for the intensive care patient. Or we could actually talk about how the service is delivered. So how many nursing staff are available, what they should look like. Then there's governance issues like ensuring that practices are safe and how to respond to an emergency.
And what kind of things do people get heated up about? What are the debates normally centred around?
Yes, so the hot topics tend to be how to tie a breathing tube in.
Oh.
So about 50% of intensive care patients will have a breathing tube sometime during their stay, and without an airway you're going to die. So maintaining that airway in the correct position is vitally important. And I think it's because it's such a bread and butter issue that people tend to, it's a really hot topic that they talk about.
So how you put it in or what it's supposed to do? What's the debate about?
Usually the best way to keep it in the right place.
Huh.
So there are a number of versions to do it. There's using white cotton tape or medical adhesive tape, or then there's proprietary products about how to hold it in. And there's actually the evidence base is quite limited, but it's also a very nuanced practice, and there's no right answer for this particular question, which is why there's a lot of debate about it.
So what was your role with ICU Connect then?
So I'm the moderator of ICU
Connect. So you still moderate?
I still moderate ICU Connect.
What does that involve? Making sure no one's saying anything too controversial? Or
basically, yes. Before we transferred to a discussion forum earlier this year, we used to have to enrol people, take people on or off. And it's also about just looking how the discussion is going and making sure people stay professional. And over the 12 years, I've only had to smack a handful of people. But it's never degenerated to the space of trolling or flaming, where people are deliberately trying to make people angry or upset or vilify people. And I think that's one of the great strengths of the community, is they're very positive. It's almost like the conversations you might see at a professional conference. So someone will present their research or do their presentation, and then people will ask questions. And so it's a very professional exchange of ideas.
I mean, you mentioned those conferences. Why is it important that those spaces exist online? Why can't it still happen in the real world?
Because conferences cost a lot of money. So medical conferences and healthcare conferences are seen as an integral part of maintaining your professional expertise. Unfortunately, they cost money to go. So luckily in Australia, it will cost you somewhere between $800 and $1,200 to go to a conference. But for anyone other than a doctor, that's actually quite a significant cost. So those conferences are still very, very important, because that's where the new science is presented and you get to listen to the keynotes. The value of ICU Connect is it's always there. And what I've found through my research is that's what the clinicians are wanting to do. They're wanting to communicate with their professional colleagues who they don't work with to say, how do you solve this particular problem? But the advantage of ICU Connect over and above the professional conference is that you can ask a very specific question, whereas at conferences you'll have a big questions asked, which may or may not specifically be yours. And the other thing is that, you know, you suddenly go to a conference in your room with 5 to 1,000 people that you don't know, and it can be extremely intimidating for most people. So it's a much safer place on ICU Connect for people to be able to ask what the participants in my focus group called a naive question. So they feel safe, they can ask that dumb question which they wouldn't necessarily feel safe to ask in an open environment.
So you've mentioned this research that you've been doing and your focus group that you held. Have you identified any things that need work or that need to be changed in your mind?
the negative things that came up was that some of the discussions weren't as evidence-based as people would like them to do. There were perceptions that there wasn't enough variety in contributions, which actually contradicts my findings, but that these were people's perceptions. So we need to develop some strategies to engender some more evidence-based discussions. And I've got a new moderator. We are a co-moderate now. So we're thinking about how we can engender those or stimulate those conversations.
I guess I am interested to know where you think this will go in the future, like how important this type of social space will be as we do move in towards a more tech-savvy and socially connected world.
It's an interesting notion. I think in the future there might be a lot more use of closed communities on Facebook, and the later literature is sort of pointing in that direction to close, for definitely for professional purposes, because most people are very passive about social media, and so if it doesn't work straight away for them, they're just sort of, you know, I'm not going to go there anymore. So you've got to teach them about the value of it and what it brings for them.
Yeah, that was something that came up in your research, wasn't it? Was the amount of people who lurk? I think you call it lurking.
Yes. So there's a sort of a 99-1 rule nowadays. 90% of people will lurk or not post. 9 people will post occasionally and 1 person will post very, very frequently. And that's certainly borne out in my research. And when you think about it, if you're in a classroom or at a professional conference, you will see that reflected anyway in the normal dynamics of where people are. So most people are not inherently gregarious. And some people, when they're really passionate about something or they've got a driving passion, will put up the hand. And then you'll have the person who has to say something else time.
It's interesting because you think that having that online forum would give people who aren't normally confident to talk in a classroom situation or at that conference. It might give them more confidence to post that question or to post that idea.
Yeah, it does. The psychological research is quite interesting. It depends on the forum, and the gregarious qualities that a person has inherently don't necessarily transfer directly to how much they post online, and the converse with someone who's very introverted. It depends on the forum they're in. But still, for many people, even the smallest challenge will bring them in, and they're not used to being able to deal with that challenge. And that's one of the inherent differences between doctors and nurses, is that doctors are used to going very tough, toe-to-toe. I want to do this. I don't agree with you. This is why I don't agree with you. And then they have a heated discussion, and then they're friends. Whereas nurses, and it's probably a step on from, or a holdover from, being predominantly female and being a secondary member of the team, and not used to that challenging behaviour. So if someone calls you out, even in the nicest way, some people just feel that that's a personal attack.
Do people, especially in the older generation who might not be as comfortable in a social media environment, are they getting excluded from this type of community?
No. The participants in the focus group were a very experienced group of clinicians. They had on average 25 years of healthcare experience and 19 years of ICU experience, and that is in line with the national data for nurses especially. The average age of a nurse in Australia is around 44. They found that ICU Connect was very easy to use, but that's by virtue of the fact that it's just email and they're used to dealing with email, and that's the beauty of a listserv. The downside is that you can't go back and see what you've talked about. So that's the problem, the inherent problem with ICU Connect that we addressed by moving to a discussion forum.
And they still feel comfortable in that forum?
I don't know yet.
To be determined.
To be determined.